Exactly.
What's up, Hooligans? This is Zach Stevens with DNVR Broncos, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Now, like we said, the Buffs go from being an overwhelming favorite over the UNC Bears last Friday to an overwhelming underdog against one of the best teams in all of college football, Texas A&M, this weekend. Joining us now, Brian Howell, our Buffs insider from Buff Zone. Brian, whew, this is going to be this could be a really fun game, could be a great measuring stick for the Colorado Buffaloes coming up on Saturday.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this is one that we're going to find out a lot more about the Buffs, I think, this week than we did even last week. And, you know, we're going to see how close they are to, you know, one of the nation's better teams. And, you know, if they're close, then you have a lot of hope for the Pac-12 season. If they get blown out, then you kind of wonder what this season is going to look like.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at various spreads, Brian, and I mean, you're seeing it, you know, what, 16.5 is what I saw last time around. Is that fair in your mind?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think, in my opinion, I think A&M covers that spread, and that's no knock on CU. I just think they're at a notch or two below Texas A&M right now, and I think CU is going to need a lot of breaks to win this football game. So I actually have A&M covering that. I think they're just that much better than CU.
When you look at Texas A&M, I mean, again, last week they just annihilate their opponent, but they've got, they've got this offense. They've got a lot of weapons. I know they have a young quarterback, but that can, boy, that's got to be a great thing for a young quarterback when you just have so many weapons, both on the receiver side and running backs. I mean, they are stacked with offensive weapons.
Yeah, they really are. And, you know, last week it was interesting because I think it was a 10-3 game against Kent State at halftime, and then A&M kind of came out in the second half and blew them away, but got help on the defense, actually, from the touchdown. But they do have a lot of playmakers. I mean, we talk a lot about CU's running backs, but A&M's running backs might be even better. Isaiah Spiller is one of the best in the country. They've got a tight end who's a first-team All-American candidate. They've got a receiver, Anaya Smith, who used to be a running back, and he's one of the fastest guys in the country. So they have one of the best left tackles in the country. So, yeah, it's a pretty loaded team.
Yeah, they're going to be tough. I mean, even before the season, they were projected to be, at least a 10-win team and a top-10 team going in. And now, obviously, living up to that when you beat a team that you're supposed to beat by quite a bit. And like you said, they turned it on in the second half. Yeah, that's going to move you up there. So it's certainly going to be a test for those Buffaloes. Like you said, on the rushing side, though, Cardwell's got to be happy with what he's seeing, even though didn't absolutely blow the doors off the place. I don't think they opened up a lot of their playbook, and that's not a knock on UNC. I just think that they thought, all right, we can beat this team, kind of going straight up. But, man, you got to love the fact that Jarek Broussard obviously gets close to 100, but seeing Alex Fontenot back in the mix, I mean, they've got some pretty darn good running backs, like you said.
Yeah, you know, Alex Fontenot had a good day, and he didn't even have a huge run or anything. I mean, it was exciting to see Rashad Clayton have a big run and get in the end zone. Deion Smith, I don't know how much we'll see him this year, but he got to play and got in the end zone. So, yeah, they do have a lot of depth. Jarek looked really good. And, the Buffs, you're right, they didn't show a whole lot in that first game. I don't think they needed to. I think it worked out perfect for them. They were able to get in there, not show a lot, stay healthy, and get a win.
Yeah. Well, how much pressure is going to be on Brendan Lewis? I mean, he didn't have to do much, and maybe that was important. You know, that was one of the most important things, right? Not throwing picks, not taking too many crazy chances. 10 of 15, 100 yards, one touchdown. But when you can control the game, which they started to do midway through the second quarter, up 14-0, and then they really controlled that game, are we putting a lot more on his shoulders this weekend?
Yeah, I think so. I think they have to. I mean, I'm not sure if Lewis has to go out and win the game, but I think he's got to be better than he was last week, and they're going to need him to do more. I mean, A&M is going to put a lot of pressure, and, you know, I thought it was interesting. I thought UNC did a good job of getting some pressure on Lewis because he was on the run quite a bit the other day. I think he was sacked a couple times, but he had to scramble several other times. I mean, three of his incompletions were throwaways because he was under pressure. So I thought UNC did a good job, but A&M is going to crank that up a couple other notches. So he's going to be under some pressure. He's got to play well. He's got to find his receivers, and the offensive line's got to block, or else if the Buffs can't run the football, then just forget about it. I don't think Lewis is quite at that level where he can go out and beat A&M on his own if they make this one-dimensional.
Yeah, it's always strange when you see a score 35-7. But, Brian, the Buffs certainly walk away from that game with some question marks. Like you said, that defensive front for UNC, they were getting back there, especially in that first half. And then Brendan Lewis, like you said, he was kind of on the run. So when you walk away from that game, you win big 35-7. But it does leave some of those larger question marks because you want to be, I'm guessing, they want to be a rushing team. But, again, that offensive line has to be able to hold up on both sides as far as pass protection and creating holes for the running backs.
Yeah, for sure. And they mixed a lot of guys in there. I don't know if it was performance-based or it was just trying to get some other people in there. But they moved around some guys in that offensive line. And it'll be interesting to see who plays this week. And they're still not fully healthy up front. I mean, Frank Phillip is maybe their best tackle, and he's been out since middle of the spring with a shoulder injury, and we hear he's going to be back sooner than what they anticipated, which could be next week. Maybe they'll surprise us and he plays this week. I don't know, but they need him back as well. But that offensive line has got to play a little better than it did against UNC.
Well, a defensive line with Texas A&M, I mean, they lost their stud tackle, Bobby Brown, and they're still, I mean, the rankings came out, this line's probably going to be better than that when you lose. So you know there's depth there, and you're just doing something right. So like you said, this offensive line, it's going to be every single play, this front group for Texas A&M, they're going to be coming at them.
Yeah, I mean, DeMarvin Leal is one of the best defensive players in the country. Jaden Peavy is a guy that was on a lot of preseason all-conference lists in the SEC. I mean, they got a linebacker who flies all over the place, defensive backs who are All-American candidates. So, yeah, it's a big challenge. And, hey, A&M gave up a ton of yards last week, a ton of rushing yards too, which was really surprising because they were the number two rushing defense in the country last year. But maybe they've got some things that they're still trying to work out and see you can take advantage of that. But if A&M gets back to what they were last season and kind of shores some things up from last week, the Buffs could be in for a long day. But maybe the Buffs saw some things on film last week that they can exploit.
Yeah, like you said, on paper, that defense looks pretty darn good for Texas A&M. But, yeah, Kent State was able to run the football. They had over, 220 yards rushing. And when you can do that, it should open you up for more things. Passing was difficult, ultimately. But we'll see. I mean, again, I think the Buffs certainly want to set things up with their rushing attack. And like you said, maybe they found something on film that they can really exploit.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens. I mean, this will be a good matchup to see, which team has improved the most from week one, right? I mean, the Buffs have probably got a lot more improvement to do than A&M, but A&M certainly didn't look like a complete product in their game either. So if the Buffs can exploit that and they can take advantage of, being somewhat close to home and play at a high level, they can win this game. And I think the Buffs have the ability to go out and win this football game if a lot of things go well for them. And we'll see if that happens, and I don't think it will, but we'll see. I mean, they're capable.
Well, and I mean, my goodness, if you find a way to get this done, it's going to be a cool atmosphere, of course, in Denver. I mean, you find a way to get this thing done, and suddenly the talk of the town, the talk of the Pac-12 is, wow, okay, these Buffs following up an Alamo Bowl appearance from last year to this, my goodness, Carl Durrell's the real deal.
Yeah, and I've actually said, I've used the line this week that no matter what, the country's going to talk about A&M, right, because they're one of the top teams in the country. If the narrative on A&M after this week is what's wrong with the Aggies, that's a good thing for the Buffs.
Yeah.
that means they look really good. Even if they lose this football game, but they made Texas A&M really work for it, I think people are going to say, what's going on with Texas A&M? So, if everybody says, hey, A&M is rolling, that's a bad thing for the Buffs. We'll see what happens with the Buffs. I mean, it would be amazing if they can go out there and win this game and really kind of back things up from last season, because that would set themselves up for a really good season this year.
Well, and here in north of you, Brian, I know Bears fans will be rooting for the Buffs, because that just makes the Bears look even better if the Buffs go out and beat a top five team and the Bears think, my goodness, all right. But so there's a lot there. All right, 16.5 points, that's the spread. What do the Buffs, I mean, we said Brendan Lewis has to be better, there's no question, but what do you see going right? Do you see Jarek Broussard going nuts? Do you see tight ends getting involved in this game with Brady Russell, or does this have to be a lights-out defensive performance from the Buffs to even give them their offense a chance?
It has to be a really good defensive performance. They've got to force some turnovers. You know, A&M threw four picks last week. They have a young quarterback as well. He threw three in his first start. So the Buffs have got to be able to try to take advantage of that and see if they can force him into some more. And then offensively, I don't see Broussard going nuts, but I think he's got to be productive. You know, he had 94 yards against UNC. If he can get 80 to 90 yards and the other backs can, you know, add another 80 to 90 combined and the Buffs are around 175, 200 yards rushing, that's really good. And then, you know, if Brandon Lewis can get some of his weapons involved, you know, some of the big-name receivers that we talked about before the season didn't do a whole lot last week. Lavonte Chenault, Demetri Stanley, Brendan Rice didn't even catch a pass. So get some of those guys involved. Get a Brady Russell involved at tight end. And just kind of mix things up. And offensively, you just got to be better. And, you know, if they can do that, this will be a good offensive performance. And then you get some things on defense, and you can win this game.
All right, Brian, so what do you think? I know you said you're not too sure they cover the spread, and that maybe that's not a bad thing. Again, 17 points, if they lose by that much, it's not necessarily a thrashing, and you're hanging in there. But what do you think? What do you think this score is going to be? And, yeah, give it us officially, I suppose. Will the Buffs, could they win this thing? Do they cover the spread?
Yeah, as I said, I think they can. However, the score I'm predicting is 45-20 A&M. I just think they're that much better than the Buffs right now. I think that it's going to go their way, and the Buffs need too many good things to go their way for me to sit there and predict them to win this game.
Yeah, and then the schedule gets pretty interesting after that with what, Minnesota, and then you get into your Pac-12 stuff with some decent teams, top 25 teams there. So far, again, one game in, but the tests are going to be there for Colorado for sure.
Yeah, no question. You know, this is one that, you know, I penciled this in as a loss to start the season. I've always looked at this next game against Minnesota as kind of the key game for the Buffs in the non-conference. They've got to beat the Gophers next week. I know we'll talk more about it next week, but to me, if you can get out of this one with a win, that's huge. But if you get out of it with a loss, that's fine. You know, lick your wounds and then go after Minnesota next week, and you can still set yourself up for a good Pac-12.
Boy, you find a way to win this game. I mean, you're getting into the, I mean, maybe you're approaching that top 25. I mean, big things could be in store if the Buffs can pull this thing off. Who knows?
Yeah, I mean, if they win this game, I think they will be top 25. I mean, it's hard to be the top five team and, you know,
right,
when you're 2-0 and not getting the rankings. I mean, we saw what happened to UCLA. So I think they will be a top 25 team if they win this one. That'd be huge, and it'd be awesome to see it. You know, the Buffs need something big. They haven't had a big monumental win like this in a long time. It'd be great to see if they can get it this week.
All right, man. Brian, appreciate you. I know you'll be giving us some previews, some write-ups throughout the week, the weekend, too, leading up to this one on Saturday. Always appreciate you, my friend.
You bet. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, Brian Howell of Buff Zone. Ooh, he's going 45-20. 45-20? I mean, listen, it's the best, arguably the best team in the country right now. Again, one game in, but it's also based on preseason rankings and everything. And Texas A&M, so far, so good. So it could get ugly. But we didn't see, you know, again, UNC played them pretty well, but the Buffs didn't open up the entire playbook. So that's the one thing if you're looking at it going, well, the Buffs didn't cover the spread. Well, they still won 35-7. I think both teams, as we discussed yesterday, walked away from that game feeling like, all right, we kind of did better than we expected. I mean, when you blow a team out, nobody expects a blowout. It just doesn't, I mean, even the wise guys, they get it right sometimes, sure, but beating a team by 28 is a difficult thing to do. And for the Bears, they covered that 38-point spread. They were 10 points better than that. So it's going to be interesting. We'll get our picks tomorrow, but we got, most importantly right now, the pick that's in front of us, Colfax, and that's the Thursday night special between Tampa Bay and Dallas. We're going to give you that. We're going to go with, we'll see what the spread is and everything. We don't just pick a winner. We're going all in. All right, let's get the latest on the Local Sports Flash.